Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. We're broadcasting from the Arizona Culinary Institute campus, my alma mater. Woot, woot, woot. So it was just official last week. I am a graduate. Thank God.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Sitting here with me today is my basics instructor, Chef Mark Macarola. How you doing, Chef?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. Actually, having flashbacks from my second week of basics because I came down with this lovely upper respiratory infection last night. Do you remember that when I had it in basics?
Yeah, I do.
Don't make me laugh too hard because it might be rather offensive to the listeners out there. So what's going on here today?
Just a lot of nice tours going on. Just going around talking to new people and just kind of explaining what we do here.
And what do we do here?
Oh, my goodness. My class basics.
Right.
I kind of get at the ins and outs of that for 6 weeks, what we do. And then we kind of, show them around to all the different kitchens, what we do there, kind of talk about, the breakdown of saucier or meat fab. And then we get into basic baking, management, and then we go into advanced baking.
Right.
And then, of course, the final end is restaurant, front of the house, back of the house.
In du jour.
Du jour.
Which is our student-run restaurant here.
Right.
So we're actually open for lunch Monday through Friday.
Yes,
right?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
Okay.
And then I believe at night they started their service back up at night.
Did they really?
Yeah.
So, okay, cool.
I think that's Tuesday through Thursday now during the week. So Mondays they shut down, but Tuesday through Thursday.
Okay. Do you like my new coat?
I do like it. Yeah,
it actually says chef on it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, we're all just cooks.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we really are.
Yeah, we really are. I remember in baking. Or baking. Basics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first day we were with you, you said, you'll never forget your basics instructor.
No, you won't.
What did you mean by that? Because I know I never will, but explain it to everybody.
I don't know. I think we build up we are together for 6 weeks, seriously, 8 hours a day. We talk about everything, mostly cooking, but, we tell life stories together. But, you hear me kind of go off on little tangents and digress about this or that, or
just a little bit.
Yeah, I throw my kids into the mix, or
right.
But it's just kind of breaking down the walls and getting to get everybody to trust and respect. And I think it holds on in your mind for. I mean, I still remember my teacher. So,
well, who was your basics teacher?
That was John Paul.
Oh, was it really? Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember the night before we started school. And I didn't know what was happening because I didn't come to orientation and how many people and all that kind of stuff. And I walk in the door and Shai says, there's only six of us. And I'm like, sweet. I'd never met anybody, right? And that night before, I pulled my gratitude rock out and just squeezed it. And I just said, please, please, please give me a good team.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we had a great team and we got so lucky.
Yeah,
we got so lucky because it can make or break your career in culinary school.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got different personalities, and we're all moving at different levels. But, as you see, we all kind of chime in and help each other out.
Well, it was different because there was me up there in the 50s somewhere. And then Shai, who went from an account executive at like Exxon Mobil at 40 to a brand new career to the 420s.
Right.
So we had Shai, Ty, X, Angel, Tucson, and me.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, see all those different names you just named off, and those weren't even really all their names.
Tucson. No, it wasn't. You nicknamed her Tucson.
Yeah, we nicknamed her.
Because she was driving up from Tucson.
Yeah.
That little girl put herself through the ringer.
Yeah, she did. But, look at her now.
I know.
Yeah.
She's at, let me see, I kind of caught up with everybody, and she's at the Scottsdale Resort at McCormick Ranch.
Wow.
X is at Roca Accor. And that was his original internship.
Yes.
Tyler's up in Flagstaff at Cal Am Resort Vista Villages. Angel did her internship in San Francisco, came home, and she's now at Vincent's on Camelback.
I just saw her the other day, yes.
I'm the public relations director for this school and have a catering company. Oh, yeah, and a radio show, too.
That's right.
I know. I cloned myself.
Yeah.
Right? And who else? Is that everybody? Oh, and then Shai. And she's just finishing up some family stuff, and she's going to go back to Texas.
She went to, Italy?
Orvieto. She and Tucson both.
So, they're working it hard, and look at them.
I know.
They're in great places.
And we had so much fun.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
I think that's one of the differences here at this school is, not that other schools can't be that way, but we're small enough that you actually really feel like a family.
Yeah.
And I actually feel so close to those. I call them my kids, even though Shai's not really, age enough to be my child, but she's like my crazy sister.
Right, right.
And all of these amazing chefs. And you say, you know, you never forget your basics instructor. I wouldn't forget any of my instructors.
Right, exactly.
But you'll certainly stick with me the most.
Right, yeah. I mean, well, you know, we had a... you know, when you're being videotaped every day.
What? When you're being videotaped.
Yeah, I mean, you videotaped me and remember...
Oh, yeah, house. Right.
I mean, because
right.
that's what we did. You know, hey, watch this. But, you know, when you sit there and, you know, and your blog was fun.
Yes, it was.
I like the blog.
You were in there a lot.
Yeah.
Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Captain Crunch and the Serial Killers.
Yeah, we got it.
That
you know, my poor kids.
Why?
Well, that's all they eat is cereal.
Well, you're a chef.
So I know, but I'm just... You know, I mean, I was telling my class just the other day, I mean, we ate, you know, how many dishes of pasta that I had to taste.
Oh, God.
You know, and I haven't eaten a meal at home, seriously, in a week and a half because I'm overstuffed.
How many kids do you have in your class right now in basics?
15.
15. And so when it was with us, there was only six. So you right. only had to taste six yeah. plates of something.
Right.
And now you're tasting 15 plates of something.
Times three dishes, right.
Every single day. Gnarly.
So, yeah. So when I don't even eat family meal, I don't even eat dinner at home. So when the kids are hungry, they're like, Dad, what's to eat? And I'm like, cereal.
Yeah. You said just you're a self-proclaimed blurter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you are. You and I share that little attribute.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
You're up in front of class one day and you're like, I used to eat six ding-dongs a day.
Did.
You did. What? Yeah. You ate six ding-dongs a
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think we were talking about just fat and mouthfeel and it brought me, like, I digress into ding-dongs.
Yeah, and another one was that I think crabs taught me how to scream.
Yeah.
What was that story? I forgot, God, but I have it in my
you know,
book.
I think I grew up on the, you know, I did grow up on the East Coast.
I think and, I yeah, grew up on the East Coast.
But I think the story was from, we did a lot of crabbing. And, you know, there's, you ever seen those, I don't know, those silly videos, the guy gets pinched by a crab.
Right.
He screams like a woman.
Right.
And that's where that woman scream comes from. It's that.
Is getting
you've heard me scream like a
crab.
Woman, right?
Yeah. Yes, I actually have when Chef Smith put a fake spider on your shoulder.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that was a good one. You about jumped out of your shirt.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah,
well, okay, I'm going to ask you this really quickly. Why do you do this? Because it's not for the money.
No.
It's physically demanding. It's emotionally demanding. It's mentally demanding. You work with a bunch of crazy, creative people.
Yeah.
So what is it that makes it you stay here or teach?
You know, I feel good when I leave here every day. I really do. I feel like I've done something good. I've taught somebody something. I think we're making the industry better with the people we're putting out there.
Uh-huh. With our graduates.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
I
really
too.
Do. I think we give us that professionalism, that respect out there, and of course just the knowledge of to get through this crazy thing that we do every day, you know, in a safe environment, and they have the knowledge of, you know, becoming the best cooks out there.
Yeah, really, and
chefs.
A comforting, it's a safe and comforting environment, because this going to culinary school is no walk in the park.
No, it's not.
There's a lot of stress, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of everything that goes with that, and that's hard to control, especially if you have groups of 15. So I admire you for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I tell you, it's I don't know, I find it to be fun. It's, you know, I enjoy, for me, Chef Wilson here, he was my instructor. Chef DeWitt was my instructor. So there's a lot of ties for me here, but,
right.
I don't know. I just, the school itself, I just love it. The people, the family.
Right. I think when the, just to praise you, cause I walked in here thinking, yeah, I kind of know some stuff, you know, and then I had to pull up my big old bag of humility about eight times a day. And the thing that you taught me that stuck with me the most was patience.
You got to have patience.
And to love my food.
Yeah. Remember that? Like, I was actually saying that the other day.
Were you?
Any fool can throw anything in a pan.
Yeah.
But if you don't love the food and cook it right, and that's what we're teaching here.
Yeah.
Is how to really cook it right.
Well, yeah, and enjoy it, because I tell you, I did not ever think that going into culinary school, I would bust a gut every single day laughing in class with you and the Serial Killer. So it was great. And now I'm still here.
Yeah.
So I get to stay in my favorite place in the world.
It is
fun, awesome.
Isn't it,
I know, it's great.
It just gives you, I don't know, for me, it's a good sense of peace being here, and I feel good about me.
Well, you're very well loved, so just know
you.
That. All right, cool.
I loved having you.
Thanks, Chef. All right. Before we break out, I wanted to let you know that we are dedicating this show to the late Chef Glenn Humphrey.
Nice.
He left us far too soon, and he was a good friend, colleague, and a mentor, and one of the reasons I came to this school. So we'll be back in just a minute with Chef Silvana Salcida Esparza. I love saying that. I wonder if she can say it five times fast. I can't, because I'm on cold medication. So anyway, this is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. We'll be right back. Hey, boys and girls, welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm Heidi Lee. Our Soup of the Week is brought to you by Arizona Culinary Institute, where passion meets profession. We're here at their first of the year open house, and there's lots of instructors on hand to answer questions and give tours. Chef Santos is teaching his amazing little neato shapes and cutting, carving vegetables and fruits, which I could never get the hang of because I have no dexterity. And Jeff Rigolet of Meat Fab and Saucier has his Dutch ovens buried in the dirt, and he's cooking up a little chili, which I'm going to have to go get a bowl of very soon. Just so you know, Arizona Culinary Institute is accepting applications 24/7. The next day classes start February 22nd, and every 6 weeks after that. The next night classes start April 11th. It's free to apply. Visit azculinary.edu or call 480-603-1066. The Soup of the Week is straight from the kitchen of Chef Silvana Salcido Esparza. Did I say it right?
That was good.
Was it?
Yeah, you got a little charo there.
And this cold is fun. It is a pozole verde. Hello, Chef. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
I think pozole verde would hit you right on.
I know, that's what I was thinking this morning, and actually when I posted it up, and thank you for the recipe, I appreciate it. I think this is what I'm going to need tomorrow for the Cardinals game.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you know, just to like clear me out. But Chef Rigolet likes a lot of pepper, so if I go eat some of his chili, that might get me started too. You start know, sweating a little bit.
You know what it is with what? These white guys, they always put way too much chili. Se pasan way, you know, you got to do it a little bit.
Give it some love.
In moderation. It's a blah, 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 quedito, which means kind of sneaks up on you. And the blah, 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 it's something else.
What's the blah, blah, blah?
Chingas quedito. It gets you slowly. Sneaks up on you.
It's like a creeper?
That's my culinary secret. Give them just enough heat to make them sweat a little bit, but don't overdo it.
And then come back for more?
Yeah, you know, the overdoing it, that's something that is a personal choice, and that's why you do something like cheese de bean on top of your food to really heat it up.
And what is that? Tell people, because I'm kind of clueless.
Cheese de beans is a pepper that comes from Sonora, and it grows wonderful here. I'm looking right now at a seed bank. Starting a seed bank for
chilies. Oh, are you really?
Chilies. Yeah.
Wow. That's going to, like, you don't have enough to do already?
Well, you know, there's people who do that for you.
Oh, well, if you can pay for them to do it for you.
You come up with the idea.
Right.
And you go, come here, look what I'm doing. And then you do it, and then you go, okay, do this for me, I'll be right back. And then you go do something else. And then you come back, and you go, oh, you're doing such a good job. Let's teach somebody else, right?
Yeah, right.
That's how you open restaurants. Chef.
Right. And how many do you have now? Like 8, 10, something
no,
like that?
No, I wish. There's a lot of barrios out there. They're not right. All mine.
Okay.
You know, I'm in it for the passion.
I know.
And not the money.
Well, you can't be in it for the money because then you'll be extremely unhappy.
Right. And I've been unhappy. But, you know, I've made a lot of money, and I wasn't the boss, and I was the chef.
Right.
You know, 14, 15 years ago, I was making in the 70s.
Really?
Just wow. For you out there, you can. If you're a chingocito, if you're good, you could really excel.
Right.
You really can excel.
Well, I think you can too, but I just wouldn't put that as my basis for getting into this profession.
No, because the point is, you can make money at this, a lot of money, but my point is, I wasn't happy being a corporate chef.
That's right. Oh, you were corporate. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot
about
that.
Super Bowls and big events and NASCAR right. And all this stuff, but it was fun until it was boring.
Yeah, because it's repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you don't get a lot of creativity that way.
Being a restaurant chef's the same way, you know. It gets a little repetitious but my customers are always different.
Okay.
And I'm always creating different concepts. I have a million concepts in my head. I'm very prolific that way.
And how did you get that way? Did you think you got that way from just, it's a natural thing? Because you come from a family of culinarians. So combining that with the fact that you went to culinary school and your travels through Mexico, or how do you think that worked out? I really need
all
a drink of
the
tequila.
Above.
I'm about ready
all right.
To lose.
Well, first
here's
of all.
Here's the plan.
Salud. Here, wait. Salud. Salud. That's a lot of salud. Calm down salud. There, Heidi. Okay. Salud.
Here's to Glenn.
Wait, excuse me.
Oh, I feel better. Oh, man, that
Senor
is smooth.
Rio, okay?
That's our weekly wet. We'll get into that one later.
Oh, my goodness. That, you know, it just coats your throat.
Oh, I feel so much better.
Hi. Look how young you are.
I've come back from the
drinking dead. In the morning. I don't think I've had breakfast yet.
I haven't either. I haven't either. So, so you're prolific, you know, bringing menu ideas together.
I'm about to be more prolific.
Are you? Yeah, tell us what you're doing.
Drinking Señor Rio. you know, what it is I take something and I go with it. And my brain works that way. I was always that way. When I was 15 years old, my parents got so tired of me telling them to make carnitas at their Mexican bakery that my mother said, you know what? Shut up. Do them yourself. $1,500 loan later, and I went off to learn from my uncle, came back, and I made them. And, man, you could make a lot of money.
Right.
So that's kind of who I am and what I am, and I just go with it. I cannot spell. I don't have a command of the English or Spanish language.
Really? Neither one?
Well, los dos los hablo bastante bien, pero I'm not educated that way.
Right.
My brain doesn't work that way.
I think we actually have a lot in common because I'll turn around and people say, and it'll be like, I wonder if anybody's doing this. You know, I don't think anybody's. I'm going to go do it because nobody's done it before.
Right.
And then you just jump in. It's like, why wait? You know, you don't try. You do. Well, and it makes life so much more exciting because if you don't try, then you can't fail. If you don't fail, you don't learn. If you don't learn, you don't grow.
I was 35 years old when I came to culinary school.
I was 52.
High five.
Woo-hoo. It hurt a lot.
You know what? It hurts your little ovaries. And it just you go home and you're like, oh my God.
I just got a cortisone injection into my shoulder.
Yeah,
but that was part here and part catering. Yeah. But I spent the last 2 weeks of the back of the house in a sling in du jour, and it was just like, oh my God! But I had to get through.
But you did it?
I had to do
now
it.
You know?
Yeah, I know. And I know Glenn was on my shoulder. And it's the funniest damn thing, you know. I'd walk in every morning really early because I lived on the west side, so I had to beat the traffic. And you walk in the door, and it's like, I love the smell of gas in the morning because that's all you smell is the natural gas, right? And I'd be walking through the hub doing whatever, and I swear to God, he's on my shoulder, whispering in my ear in that gravelly voice, just do it, just get it done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty, it was very cool. It was great to have him with me, honestly.
He was a very inspiring, magical person. When you see a guy that looks like he could kick your butt,
10 times, you know, over
on a Harley with a gun strapped to his side that drinks tequila, you're like, don't mess with that guy. But he was a big bear. He could cut, you know, he would give you those hugs, and he was very inspiring.
Well, and he shared a lot of airtime with me, and the cutest damn thing about it was we'd start talking, people would call with questions, right? And I just gave them to him. I'm like, you do it. And he'd lean into the mic, and here's this big gravelly dude. What was he, like 6'6"? Huge guy. And he'd turn into a 12-year-old. And then he'd get all excited. And then if you do this with it, it's like this. And then if you do this, and did you know, Heidi, if you do this with it, that's what it does. And I'm like, what? And that's how excited he was about food. It was so awesome.
So inspiring.
I love that guy.
I remember, you know, like, he took a 35-year-old woman that was a natural, but didn't know crap. Mise en place, what's that? You know, everybody else had worked in the kitchen, I felt like. And they were all young, and some of them were older. But for the most part, people had experience, and I was scared. I really was scared.
I bet you.
Did I just say that?
Yeah, you did. Beep. It's okay. We can fix it.
Okay. My mother had just passed away. I wanted to do what my heart told me to do.
Did you have an aha moment?
Yes, I did. I had a lot of ahas. But
yeah.
And I did. I came here, and I've been a Phoenician ever since. And I mean, in the sense of a true phoenix, you know, I came out of the ashes.
I know. That's so funny.
I sure did.
That is so funny that you say that, because I had no intention of going to culinary school back in February. And I was looking through a journal, and I pulled out this ad that was tucked away. And it was a Vanity Fair lingerie talking about appreciation of oneself and love for oneself as you grow older. And it was 1998. I was 34. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And I flipped over the thing, and it was an ad for culinary school. Mm. And that was it. Boom. Lightning strike went off. Mm-hmm. I got online. I applied to ACI. 48 hours later, I was accepted. Mm-hmm. And this was my Ativan. Mm. Because I had so many storms going through my life. I'm just like, I need to escape. Mm-hmm. And this school was my escape. And it's and it changed my life. I'm forever changed because of coming here in an impetuous moment. You know, it's just like if you feel it, it's like it's in your gut. That's what my girlfriend said. She goes, did you feel it through your whole body?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you probably did too.
Yes. You know, since I stepped foot in Phoenix, I've been blessed.
Yeah.
And there are blessings that happen at every moment. Boom, they put Glenn in my life. I got to go to school. I got to live in Scottsdale, and then I got to move out of Scottsdale. You know, you don't know what you don't like until you move out of it.
Right.
But anyway, no offense to Scottsdale folks.
No, because we love them.
We love Scottsdale.
Because they like food a lot.
Yes, and they have money to spend on
food.
That's
right, and we love them for it.
But I can't afford to live in Scottsdale anyway.
I can't afford to live in Scottsdale either.
They kicked me out of Scottsdale once.
Do you still have your ghost in your house?
No.
Is she gone?
No,
oh, you
she's
moved.
Still there.
Oh, okay.
Molly, yeah.
Yeah. My daughter encountered her once when we came to your place and did a show.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. She was back in the bedroom reading, and Molly knocked a book off the table.
We were
not
just talking
kidding.
About Molly last night.
Seriously, really?
An artist, Angel Diaz, was just telling me she would slide glassware on top of the table.
Seriously?
And she would ring the bell on my...
Oh, that's
But she
right.
never cooked. Or did the dishes, that Molly.
Bitch. What did I want to say? Oh, so your soup is awesome. I actually made it once before. Your pozole verde.
After this tequila, we might want some menudo instead.
I know, right? Oh. So anything else happening? We got a couple of minutes before where we take a break, and then we'll bring Chef Wolf on with us.
Oh, excellent. You know, I'm opening up a new restaurant.
Okay, and where is this one?
This one's on Grand Avenue. It's the district, the arts district.
Where is that exactly?
It's considered downtown Phoenix.
Okay.
So it's on Grand and Roosevelt.
Okay.
South of Roosevelt.
Okay, okay.
I have the most beautiful view of downtown.
Oh, awesome.
And it's 1,000 square feet of the historic part of a historic building.
I love it down there. It's so cool. It is so cool. And when's that going to open up?
Next month, I think.
Okay. And do you still have two in the airport?
I have two at the airport. And then Barrio Cafe on the street on 16th Street. And then over on 7th at the Yard is Barrio Urbano with those killer breakfast.
Okay. And, you know, I have fond memories of when Emily, do you remember my Emily, redheaded Emily?
Mm-hmm.
Emily, Glenn, and I came to Barrio Cafe, and you sat down with us and fed us for 2 solid hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Glenn put me over his shoulder and carried me out the door because there was just no way I could waddle through. But you have amazing food.
Thank you.
Have amazing food, you have an amazing story,
and you have
an amazing connection to this community, and so we thank you for that, too.
Well, this community gave me so much. How can I not?
I know. Me too. I feel the same way. Okay, so we are going to take a quick break, and we will come back with Chef, Executive Chef, Christopher Wolf, and we're going to talk culinary school and maybe some food trends and then make fun of people. You with me?
I'm with you.
All right. This is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. We'll be right back. Hey, boys and girls, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back to Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. As we said before, this show is being dedicated to Chef Glenn Humphrey. He was kind of partial to tequila, so we've got a weekly Wet Your Whistle just for him. His girlfriend, Tara, shared his fave with us, and I think she kind of shook her head and rolled her eyes when I mentioned that did he mix it into something like a cocktail? She like, no. He sips it straight with a little bit of beer back, and it is a, you say it, Silvana.
Señor Rio.
Añejo.
Añejo y delicioso.
So that's way sexier than if I would have said that.
Really? You should try it just to see. Try it. Say it. Just to see if you can say it sexy. Turn your wife on.
And I did lose my voice, so maybe that's going to add to the Señor Rio. No.
That's pretty good,
I think
Chef.
That sounds like Spanish. A gringo trying
to say. No.
It
sounds a little Spaniard. Señor Rio.
You're like Barcelona?
Oh,
geez. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we're having a couple of little toasts for him, but not too many because we drink responsibly and it's only like 10 o'clock in the morning. So welcome back to Chef Silvana.
Thank you.
Of Barrio Everything. And we are joined by Executive Chef Christopher Wolf.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good. How are you? You're
awesome.
getting a little graspy voice like everybody else around this joint?
Yeah, no doubt. And 2 days ago is more of a whisper, so this is just wonderful compared to that.
Yeah, no, you couldn't talk at all. I was getting a little nervous. I'm just like, okay, wait a minute. You're supposed to come on the show in 2 days.
Yeah, class was interesting. We all gathered within about a 5-foot space, and I
gently whispered the entire lecture to them for 2.5 hours. And I realized at one point I even made a point of noting that, hey, what I just said normally sounds pretty good, but that was extraordinarily creepy.
What were you talking about? Like soups and sauces? And
yeah, pretty much like that, yeah, more or less. But I mean, yeah, at least when we make light of it, it made the day a little bit smoother.
How many students? You're teaching night basics, right?
Yep.
How many kiddos do you have?
5 right now. It's a nice, quaint, intimate class. It's perfect. A lot of one-on-one time with the chef.
How old is everybody? Are they very in range, or are they like youngsters, or do you have whatever?
There's a nice little mix. It's a generally more youthful crew, but we got a good mix.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. How long have you been here?
Oh, geez. I was just actually looking at a calendar the other day. It's been 9.5 years. It'll be 10 years. July of this year. 10 years. Irony to that is I thought perhaps I'd do it for a year just to kind of take a break and change things up. And, well, gosh darn, I just fell in love. And here we are 10 years later.
Did you just say gosh darn?
I did.
You really are scared of that little delay button, aren't you?
I am. You know, and I think the fact that my 5-year-old at home has started repeating everything that comes out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I are having to talk a little differently around the house.
Yeah, I don't have a 5-year-old.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I've picked that up.
So how old are you?
I am a 35 years
old. So you're 35 years old, and at 25 years old, you left the industry and came to teach.
Yeah, you know, I started when I was 14. I always equate it back to I was 14 years old, 8th grade, playing a game of street hockey, and a buddy of mine called up. He was a dishwasher at a local restaurant, and one of their dishwashers called out sick. And he said, hey, dude, I need somebody to fill in, wash some dishes. I can pay you minimum wage, cash under the table, which, again, in 8th grade, I think at the time, $5.25 an hour.
Where were you living, Chef?
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so the idea, I mean, God, that would have been like $40. I felt rich. I could go out in the arcade and do whatever the heck I wanted.
Yeah.
So I went in, and it's just crazy that I didn't know that that phone call was the first day of the rest of my career.
Yeah, wow. So you were like 14.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and it went in, and dishwashing once a week turned to twice a week, which turned to busing, turned to prepping, turned to line work, turned to, hey, maybe I'll make a career out of this. And next thing I knew, I was at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. And it just
okay, so that's actually a very perfect segue for me. And thank you very much for doing that, because you didn't even know I was going to ask you that question. So you started at 14, and you went to line cook, prep, da, da, da. Why'd you go to culinary school? You're already in the industry. What made you do that? What convinced you that that was going to make a difference in your life?
So not knowing this ahead of time, honestly, it just seemed like a good idea. You know, an opportunity to go and get in front of a lot of different chefs in a short period of time and get exposed to a huge variety of different techniques and styles of cooking. You know, and in the industry, say you go work for one chef for 1 year, you're seeing his or her style for a year straight. And again, you're learning a ton, but I immediately recognized the fact that I would just be able to get exposure to a lot of different stuff in a short period of time.
Okay, and how long was your education at CIA?
Our program was 21 months.
Okay.
It was associate's degree. Half the program, externship, was in the middle, and then you went back and finished up the other half.
Oh, it was in the middle?
Yes.
Why is that?
They had said, sort of their crafty way of phrasing that was that externs and employees can potentially get paid 2 different wages. And when they graduated, they didn't want their graduates getting extern pay. So, you know, there's that idea of if you go somewhere for your externship and then you continue your employment there, what motivation all of a sudden overnight your employer's just going to give you a raise because you're not an extern anymore?
Okay.
So they thought if they could separate the two, do your externship, leave, and then if you went back as a graduate, it may command a higher salary.
Okay.
Is how they explained it to us.
All right. Silvana, did you have an externship, and where did you do it? Here.
Well, when I was in culinary school, I had an opportunity to become the chef de cuisine for Chef Keller, French Laundry.
Really?
Or a full scholarship from the Phoenix Convention Center. So I said, whatever happens first, and then they both happened. So I flipped a coin, and guess where I ended up? Phoenix Convention Center.
But it was a full scholarship.
Full ride, plus I got money in my pocket to fix my broken down car, and then...
Is that the Carmen Ghia story?
It's part of the Carmen Ghia story,
because
yeah.
Chef Wilson wanted me to make sure to let you know that we're going to chat about that when he comes on in the next segment. So that's fun. Where'd you do yours, Chef?
I did my externship at a place about an hour and a half outside of D.C. called the Inn at Little Washington. It's been a mobile slash Forbes five-star restaurant for about the last 25, 30 years.
Wow.
And some advice I got from a chef I was working for right before I went to culinary school was, on your externship, this is going to sound totally wrong, but go somewhere extremely over your head and just get your ass handed to you for the entire time. Like, be afraid to go to work. It's so hard. And so I found in proximity to my home what I imagined would be the hardest, most challenging restaurant. It was there. So I went down there, and I used to wake up in the middle of the night having nightmares about going to work. I used to have to psych myself up for the hour before I would go to work. And then I just went there and dug my heels in for every 10 to 12-hour shift. But through 5 months of being terrified every day of my life, I left that place a completely changed person.
Right.
And I still give that advice today. Bite off more than you can chew.
Right.
Do something so much above your skill level and just get destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You'll come out of it on the other side.
Yeah, it's that failing and learning and failing and learning. You know, and so from, I mean, you've worked in some pretty amazing restaurants. And you're an amazing instructor. All your students love you. You do such a great job here. But you really, 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 really like to climb things.
I do.
What kinds of things do you climb?
So life's pretty simple for me these days because there's really only three things I focus on, and that's family and friends being one of them, food, cooking, teaching being the other one, and playing outdoors is the third. You know, I fell in love when I moved to Phoenix the first time with climbing mountains, first casually and then, you know, technically, and then local mountains seemed a little bit low, so I started seeking out higher peaks. And so the two lifelong goals that I've been working on now for the past decade or so, that I hope to continue for the rest of my life, are trying to summit the highest point of all seven continents,
mm-hmm.
Of which I have three. I've done Kilimanjaro in Africa, I've climbed Mount McKinley in Alaska, and then Mount Elbrus, which is the highest point in Europe. So three down, four to go. And then I'm also trying to do the highest point of all 50 United States, of which I have 27 done, 23 to go.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun.
I don't know how I'm going to move into this, but I want to. So from a teaching perspective and from a restaurant ownership perspective, working with these people, because that's a lot of stuff, Chef. I mean, to do that and take on everything that you do, and you find that with these creative people. And they're not the easiest. I talk about my team of chefs as herding cats. Yeah. Right? Okay.
Sounds about right.
So when you try to retain, because attrition in losing an employee is difficult, making sure that your students all stay in line so that everybody learns and everybody moves forward, do you bend to them? Do they bend to you? Is it a combination of both? Go ahead, Chef.
I would say you have to meet in the middle, but in order for any kitchen, specifically a classroom, and I would think even more so still in the industry, there's one captain of the ship.
Okay.
And there's a million ways to skin a cat, but in order, I think, to create order in this environment is, you know, meet in the middle, but if somebody's going to bend, they need to bend for me. Because when I lose control of my ship, then at that point, things start to spiral out of control pretty quickly.
Okay. Silvana?
I could say that in Spanish, which is, aquí mis chicharrones truenan. Here my pork rinds snap. That means I'm the chef.
Okay. But, I mean, there's just a lot of talk going on out there about people saying, I mean, and I've actually had chefs coming in, you know, looking for students saying, I can't find anybody to hire. What is that all about? And is it about this entitlement thing, which is a word that I can't stand as much as the, you know, I'm not going to say the other word. So there is that issue, and there's this kind of vibe that's going through the restaurant industry that's talking about lack of talent, people not wanting to come to work because it's hard.
You know, it's a tough business, and I think that media has sort of painted an unrealistic picture for a lot of the students that are choosing to come to culinary school, and so they expect a life of glamour.
You think they still expect that? I mean, gee whiz.
I honestly really do, because wow. I still see it every single day. And here we try our best to paint a real world scenario and a real world picture and make them work and make them sweep and make them scrub and get down and dig in and do it. But at the end of the day, I mean, assuming ACI is doing everything right and we are perfect and we couldn't possibly be any better, and of course there's room for improvement everywhere, but we still as a school couldn't possibly turn out enough students to fill all of the positions that exist. I mean, let's just start with the Valley, but across the country, there are so many positions just available for qualified cooks, and there aren't enough cooks to fill those positions.
Right.
And it continues to grow.
I imagine, and you see it more than I do. I sort of have this one-sided view of things, but then you're seeing the end result. Mm-hmm. And as you sit here and tell me that it's not getting any better, well, we'll keep trying. Maybe we should open a second campus.
What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Because it's just, you know, it's prolific. So considering that, you know, I'm a writer and I do research for this, and I do research for public relations here to understand, number one, how to get butts in seats, how to get students out there and actually working in the industry and being happy about it. So a lot of research that you see, a lot of articles that are popping up everywhere are all about the danger to this industry. I don't necessarily believe it, but I'd like your guys' opinion because I'm not in that industry. From, you know, filling a restaurant with bodies and, you know, cranking out food 24/7. So,
Savannah, you want to, I mean.
It's a difficult question.
I'm in a different field altogether than everybody else. So I'm not one to answer because, you know, I cook Mexican food. So therefore, Raza cooks my food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my kitchens are filled with people that are 10 years plus. And I've been in business 14 years, so what does that say?
Right.
So I'm not having that. I'm not having that problem.
Yeah.
You know, but they're my family. You know.
Well, and I've heard that about your company before, and it's pervasive. It's like you keep your people because you keep your people.
We throw mad Christmas parties. That's the key.
Should we move on to another subject?
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk about just really quickly. What I wanted to touch with you on about what we have here at ACI. Is the Arizona Coalition for Military Families, and that we're accredited with that or certified. And the main backing behind that is being able to understand the needs of vets that come through and also the similarities between a culinary career and a career in the military, because we are built on a brigade system. And so sometimes if you look at that transition from military life to civilian life, it certainly isn't going to be seamless. But this is something that I think would be very comfortable for someone coming across that fence. You know what I mean?
I agree completely. And the story that I love to tell, it's a great point of pride for me, was how we actually got the ball rolling on this whole certification thing. And, you know, we've been able to take the GI Bill for many, many years, and we've had military students coming here as students for a long time. And there was, you know, one student that was having a rough go, just really struggling with the school, and, you know, some of it was stuff here, and some of it seemed like it was some personal stuff. But ultimately, the student wanted to leave the program, just was displeased with his experience here. And so as the executive chef, if I have the opportunity to sit down and talk with someone before they leave, if I can convince them to stay, or just at least really hear them out as to why you're truly leaving, I like a chance to do that. So I sat down with this particular gentleman, and long story short, at the end of the conversation, he had said, you know, around here, you guys seem totally fine taking veteran money, but you have no effing clue about how to deal with veteran issues. And that was basically the last thing he said to me. And, you know, I suppose I could have let that roll off my back and have really not done nothing about it. But as somebody who takes great pride in what we do here at the school and, you know, constantly wanting to give our students a better experience, to me, that was unacceptable. So myself and the president of the school, Chef Robert Wilson, we immediately went to work trying to figure out ways to improve this. And through a lot of searching, we ultimately came across, at a state level, the Arizona Department for Veteran Services and the Arizona Coalition for Military Families. And they had actually just recently created a program called an Arizona Veteran Supportive Campus. And so we immediately decided that that's what we needed to do. And so we got in contact with all the necessary parties and immediately got to work on it, and they still use our story today. We are the fastest school that has ever received that certification before.
Great.
Because we are small and we are intimate, and, you know, that means we have less hoops to jump through and we can kind of steer our own ship here. But at the end of the day, when we attack something, we go all in 100%. And so when we decided that we wanted to do this, we did it. We got our Arizona Veteran Supportive Campus certification quickly, and then since then, we do multiple trainings per year where the Arizona Coalition for Military Families actually comes out and does veteran culture training with us to make sure that we are consistently doing the very best we can. And obviously we don't have all the answers all the time, but
Well, I participated in one a couple of weeks ago, and I had no idea. It was so eye-opening for me. Because I was looking at our veterans from a student perspective, not from a, because I'm not an instructor, but not from an administrative perspective or anything other than that. And so it was very different. And it's the very least that we can give back to these men and women is to just try to understand and be compassionate, you know, and have the doors open and be able to know that I can guide you here with help to these resources should you need them. You know, and you can do it from an employer's perspective. You can do it from a college campus or, you know, anything. And I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great program, and I hope it's helping. You know, we want all of our students to be happy here. And, you know, if we've at least improved the life of one of our veteran students throughout this, then it's been a victory.
Okay, yeah, I think it is too. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here for a second and come back with Chef Robert Wilson, and we will let you go, Chef Wolf, so thank you very much for your time. But I borrowed Chef Wilson's Food Lover's Companion the other day to find a word just for fun, kind of throw it out there. And so I was giving it back to him, and he says, you can keep it. I got it all up here. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And I said, all right, well, define me this. Petit vieux. And he corrected my pronunciation because I did screw it up the first time. And I'm like, and he did it. This weird little freaking puff pastry filled with frangipane and almond. But he didn't know where it originated. It originated in Petit Vieux, which is a little French town. And I'm just like, dude, you just blew me out of the water.
But it's not an accident that he's the president of the school, you know. That,
right, yeah.
Sort of title I don't think is given lightly, huh?
No, not really. But I thought I had to try to stump him. And I tried to stump Glenn a lot, too, but I could never do it.
That was
a very tough battle. So we will be back in just a minute. And thank you, Chef Wolf. We appreciate your time.
Anytime.
And Sylvana's going to stay. And this is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. Don't touch that dial. Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm Heidi Lee. We'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona. Shift 10. Shift 10% to a locally owned business and support our community and our economy. So I went searching at Local First AZ and thought, I wonder what kind of interesting companies I can find on here. And the first one I saw was Beekeepers. Seriously, Beekeepers. I'm like, that is so cool. So we're going to shout out to a Local First member today, and it's CC Pollen. So it's www.bpollen.com. for more information about their locally sourced products that they use, like, a really lot of big words. And I'm like, wow, that looks pretty cool. And they've got all these really great products that you can get online. So Local First is very, very cool. All right, before we finish up our final segment, we've got some events that we'd like to tell you about. The first is the Taste of Elegance Culinary Competition. Come sample the region's most innovative pork entrees prepared by some of the most talented Valley chefs, including our own ACI Chef Santos Vialico. Did I say that right? I always mess up his name. I can get you down anytime, Silvana. But it's Monday, January 25th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the East Valley Institute of Technology. Tickets are only $15, and proceeds benefit the Arizona Restaurant Association Education Foundation. Okay, so get ready to write this down. You can RSVP at tasteofelegance.splashthat.com. So there's that one. And the next one is No More Chili Nights. And this is benefiting the Close Cabin, which is a signature. This is their signature fundraising event. And they collect clothes and linens for people that are, you know, kind of in a bad way. It's February 20th, and yours truly will be there judging. And it is at, let's see, sorry about this, I'm not ready. PRS Property Management, 4129 West Milky Way. I've never heard of that in Chandler. Milky Way? It's kind of a fun name of a street. Chandler, Arizona. And it starts at 6 p.m. So you can look at intothesoup.com and find out more information about that. All right. We are back with Chef Silvana Salcido Esparta. Because I just love to say that.
You're getting better with the
tequila. I know, right? I know the tequila is helping. And Chef Robert Wilson of Arizona Culinary Institute. Hello, Chef. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. This has been a fun show. I'm talking about all things interesting. I have this little shaky thing going on in my ear. Can you hear it? It sounds like my headphones are moving around. Is it distracting? No? Okay, good. So we wanted to talk to you about Chef Silvana's Carmen Ghia story.
So Silvana was actually a student of mine at the old Scottsdale Culinary before it was the Cordon Bleu program, and she was in my catering class. I was actually her catering instructor. And she was in, from what I remember, just an awesome class. It wasn't the biggest class, but really great students along with her. And she comes to me one day and says, "Chef, can I talk to you?" And I said, "Absolutely." And she goes, "You know, I have this kind of issue that I was being offered a, she was being offered a scholarship from a corporation local, and it would pay for her entire tuition at Scottsdale Culinary. And she said, but they require that one, it's a female, one that's Hispanic, and one that there's financial need available. And I'm looking at her and I said, and so what are you going to do? And she goes, I just don't feel comfortable taking it because of that. And I looked her straight in the eye and I said, didn't your car just break down? Yeah. I go, and somebody's offering you free money and you don't want to take it? I go, let me tell you, whenever anybody offers you free money, you take it. And I go, you know that you get your tuition back. And she goes, oh, so then I can fix my car. So that's the story.
Okay.
And I fixed my car. And because I didn't have student loan, instead of going to work with Chef Keller in California, I ended up...
Which would have sucked.
I can't cuss anymore. I'm sorry. But I ended up in Mexico for a couple of years just backpacking.
Did you backpack like all by yourself? Did you have an automobile? Did you have a bicycle?
No,
did
I had
you
the bus.
You had the bus. Okay.
Yo hablo español.
Okay.
Muy bien.
Nice, nice, nice.
And I'm a big girl, so people get scared.
Do they?
Yeah.
You've got the same color thing going on, so yeah, you're all right. Better than some cracker down there.
Well, you know, nowadays I don't think I would go.
No.
The insecurity that happens, you know, in La Provincia, outside of Mexico City. Now Mexico City is a safe place to go.
Right. So Silvana was a student of yours, yes, Chef Wilson?
Yep.
Okay.
A very good one.
A very good one?
Yep.
So where did you go to school, Chef?
So actually, my story is kind of weird. Is I was working, I started working for Deli Web at 16. I was working at a major resort, and they came in and they made entire staff changes one night. And they fired the manager, executive chef, sous chef, food and beverage manager, bar manager. And they sent in what we call a headhunter from Las Vegas. And we were a big property. We had a banquet hall that sat 750. We had a dining room that sat 250. And this gentleman they sent in, Andrew Schwabel, kind of looked at me and says, well, are you going to stay or are you going to go? And I could have either said, you know, you just fired the entire crew. I think I'm going to leave. And he goes, no, if you stay, I'll do you solid. So I actually stayed and got them through a hard time. And he sent me and paid for my tuition at the Culinary Institute of America.
Wow. Okay.
So when I came back, I had to sign a 3-year deal with Deli Web. And 6 months into that deal, I was working late at night, and they sent in some security guards to change the locks in the back door. And they say, what's up, fellas? And they go, you were just sold. As of midnight, you're, I think it was Nadon Corporation. So that null and voided my contract.
Oh, well.
So I left there, and I went to work with Club Corporation of America. And at that time, they had 200 schools throughout the United States, or 200 clubs throughout the United States, and 200 clubs in Asia. And I was the executive sous chef for the Lakes Club with Jack Kirby, which is a great chef. And
he was with Shamrock, right? That Jack Kirby?
Jack Kirby worked for Club Corporation of America for probably 20 years.
Okay.
And he was the executive chef. And kind of the one that did the polishing for me when I got out of school.
Okay.
And showed me how to run... both not how to run a kitchen and both how to run a kitchen. And I can remember every holiday, Jack Kirby's a nice guy, but he would make the entire staff cry. And there was a couple holidays where we still had 1,200 people to serve. And I said, Chef, why don't you just take the day off? Let me handle this. And so he would kind of leave that area, and I would go in and get every back on track so we get through the night or the day. So
every holiday, so that's Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, all of them
pretty much.
Okay. So everybody looked forward to that when the holidays were coming along.
So he was the type of person every day at 5 o'clock, you know, we would have the lineup, and at any given time there would be 30 or 40 servers, and if he walked out there and they weren't in full uniform and had their pens and pads and didn't have their bow tie on, or somebody was missing, he would basically walk out because he didn't want to waste his time. He knew it was on the menu, and if they weren't going to give him that time, he didn't feel like wasting it. So very good learning experience for me. And the way that he ran his kitchen and let me run the kitchen. And actually, our corporate chef was Chef Rene Jacobus, and he was
Chef
of the Plaza Club. And actually, Chef Kirby had went on vacation, and at the same time, our club was being inspected by Rene Jacobus, and Rene Jacobus is the only chef that has ever written me up. And the write-up was because it was 110 degrees in the kitchen. I was wearing a cook shirt instead of a chef jacket, and he says, the chef doesn't look like a chef. And
okay.
So Rene Jacobus actually frequents DuJourno. I see him about twice a month, and I remind him every time. I said, you got to pay for your meal because you wrote me up that one time.
Right on.
You don't give him a discount?
No, I give him a discount. Yeah, he's a great guy.
So I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but it's just kind of popped into my head. There's a huge European contingent of chefs here. They're all like, you know, reaching their latter years. Why did they come here? Do you know?
So, and that offers a so when I got out of culinary school, you know, with the last name of Wilson, nobody, oh, it's a white person. He's American.
It's a white
he can't
person?
Cook. And you were dealing with names like Franz Nicodemus, Rene Jacobus, Erica Qua,
yeah.
Jean-Marie Rigolet.
Right. And Dieter Preiser.
Right. So you're looking at these people and they say, you know, they're all European. And when I was, yeah, I was also trained by Gunter Schielelees and Rene Rapeau and I took it upon myself to say, you know, you might say that I'm not able to do it, but one day I'm going to cook you under the table. And I feel today I can hold my own with any of those Europeans now that are here. A lot of them are retired. And
Yeah, they are.
Know,
but my question is, why did they come here in the first place? What drew them from Germany and Belgium and France to Phoenix, Arizona?
So at that time, it was a culinary hotspot. So you had the points that were opening. You
okay.
Know, Tapatio, you had the point on.
And this is the 70s.
Right. And then you okay. had the Registry Resort, which isn't around anymore. You had the Adams Hotel, which was big. The Del Webb Townhouse. You know, Harry Locker was a chef there for a long time. I remember we did a party at Del Webb Townhouse for 7,000 people. And I didn't work there, but I was brought in as a Del Webb chef to help him get through this. And it was just an amazing operation to see 7,000 people.
How do you do 7,000 people?
It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of mise en place.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And we actually had five lines running at that night, and it was kind of cool. Each chef that they brought in ran their own line. And we actually overplated 500, and I'm like going crazy. It's like, do you know you just overplated 500? Oh, yeah, we'll feed the staff.
No. It probably had 500 yeah. staff.
How do you replay 500?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't imagine that kind of operation. Yeah. That kind of operation. So, yeah, that's interesting. I always wondered that, why they all were here. So you went to culinary school, and how long did you work in the industry before you started teaching?
15 years.
15 years. Yeah. And so how old were you when you stopped and started being an instructor?
35, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you did it because?
So after working at Country Club for 10 years, I started a small family and had two kids. And basically at the club, member-owned, everybody thinks that they're your boss. And I would find myself working months with no days off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would kiss my wife goodbye after Labor Day and not see her till Mother's Day. And so that was the life. And you know, Mondays, Mrs. Johnson would have a party, and Chef Wilson's there, and everything went great. And Tuesday, if I decided to take the day off, and Mrs. Smith had a party, why isn't the chef here? So it's not like I didn't have a crew that could handle it. It was just a perception as I'm important, the chef should be here for my party.
Right.
So that's why I ended up working those days. So at the same time, a lot of the club members moved their home from their location in what I call Hotel California. So Freedom Group was 700 luxury apartments. They all started at $500,000 and up. And seven floors, nine dining rooms, the kitchen was in the center. And when I say Hotel California, it's the kind of place where you sign your assets over and they take care of you for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow.
And so
okay.
you need to go to the doctor, they take you in a limousine. You need to go to a movie theater, there's a movie theater there, bowling alley, gym, etc. So I found myself being drawn away into that portion, and a lot of people think, well, it's healthcare, you're blending food. It was scratch food cooking for 1,500 people every single day.
It sounds kind of sterile.
It's not. Remember, it's a Hotel California, California, so it's like a real classy hotel. Across the street was where everybody was bedridden, and the, you know, we had the dietitian and stuff to so on.
Right.
So I find myself working there and the promise of, oh, you're going to have more time off with your family, and it didn't really happen. But
okay.
when I was working there, I'd hired some interns from Scottsdale Culinary and they said, Chef, you should really be teaching. So I went and visited with Elizabeth Light. I was initially turned down for a female chef. 6 weeks after she started, I get a call from Darren Light, who was the son at the time, and says, I don't know why you were overpassed. Come talk to me. And then I was initially hired as the meat fabrication chef. And my background was a catering garmager. And they did have a catering class at the time, and they had somebody teaching it that really wasn't a catering chef. So then I got switched, and I taught catering for a couple of years. That's where I met Silvana. And then later on in the program, Chef John Bartolomo, who went on to do his own thing, actually went to Elizabeth and said, the only one that can teach my class is Chef Wilson. And it was a night class, and I get called in. She goes, so you want to teach nights? And I said, well, who said that? Well, Chef Bartolomo said that. And I go, I really don't want to teach nights. She goes, well, think about it for a couple of weeks. And a week went by, and she goes, so you're starting nights, you know. I go, what was it thinking about? So right. I ran Le Cole for about a year and a half.
And that was the restaurant associated with the
right.
school.
Right, and which at that time was the only three-star restaurant in the state of Arizona.
Really?
Yes.
Attached to a culinary school?
Yes.
Wow. Yep. Well, that's kind of neat.
Yep. And we always had, you know, a waiting list for the school, for not only for the school, but for the restaurant as well.
Right.
And
this was when it was Scottsdale Culinary Institute.
Correct.
Okay. Right. Okay, and that's when you attended was when it was Scottsdale Culinary Institute.
Yeah, and
okay.
All the killer chefs were there.
All the killer chefs were there.
Glenn.
Right. Chef Wilson. Tracy DeWitt.
Tracy DeWitt, who I love.
Yeah, she's awesome. She was my advanced pastry chef.
Inspirational, all these guys.
Right. So we were talking about when I first started with Chef Beccarola, who was my basics instructor, we were talking about how important it is for your team. Whether it's your team going through culinary school or your team in a restaurant situation or whatever it might be. Did you have a good team when you went through CIA?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you? Yeah. Because it happens that you don't. I mean, there are times when you get a group that just does not gel. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken about it so many times. We had such a great team. And there are only six of us. Mm-hmm. So to have six people who varied in age and experience and maturity and everything, I felt absolutely truly blessed because that's what I was worried about. What am I going to get? With the, you know, entitlement and, you know, I'm lazy and all that kind of crap that's floating around out there. And I got the most dedicated, passionate, intuitive, perceptive, 420-year-olds shy in me. And it was, I mean, I wouldn't have traded it for anything. So it was an amazing experience. And it hurt a lot. You know where I hurt myself the most? Baking. That's where I got wounded the most. I got my middle finger stuck in a piping tip and he had to pry it off with a paring knife. Because it's my middle finger just started blowing up, and then I accidentally squirted sanitizer in my eye.
Yeah, so those are all things that I wouldn't admit on the air if I
Why?
Were.
Why?
It made you know about your finger in the piping tip.
Well, I was just trying to get the stuff out, and I wasn't paying attention, and I shoved it all the way through, and it had all that gooey, you know, crap, that stuff you had to pipe and, you know, decorate your metal cake, and And I know, and it was so funny. We actually had a picture. And then when I was just kind of trying to prime the sanitizer, and I didn't pay attention, I had my finger up under, and it squirted me right in the eyeball. So, you know, it's endearing, because people know I'm a dork. I'm okay with it. I mean, and then I burnt myself. I dropped things on my feet and broke things on my toes. Yes, ma'am.
It goes to show you that culinary career is not just in the kitchen.
Oh, no. Where else is it?
Well, you're doing it right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's lots of things you can do. You don't have to be on a line. You don't
Absolutely
have to be a caterer.
Not.
There's 100 things you can do with a culinary education. You can be a writer. You can be an instructor. You can do lots of things. Anyway, it was a pleasure to be in your school, and we're very glad that you're here running it because you're doing a great job, and everybody's so excited. We've got open houses coming up. When's the next one, Chef? March 23rd, I think?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to have some food trucks and all sorts of stuff
right.
like that going
yeah.
on.
Check the
okay.
website. It'll all be on the website.
Yep. And we'll be announcing it here. And once again, I just wanted to thank you very much for your support so that Into the Soup could be here and bring all this great news about everything culinary in Arizona. And thanks to Tara Garlip, bringing a little whiskey. Thanks to Glenn Humphrey. We got to do a shot in his honor. We've got a great show for you next week. Thank you both very much. We'll be tucking in at Gertrude's with Chef Nat and food writer Christina Barueta with Right on Ruby. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. Go Cards. Take care of yourself. See you next week. Into the Soup. Peace out.